Hey everybody, welcome back to the Pub Trivia Experience. My name is Chris and we have got a packed house for your show today. So we're not going to hide this from anyone. We are doing we are back to our regular game. Four rounds of trivia, four questions per round. We have our pregame, we have our midpoint, and we have our three wager questions at the end, and we have got a packed house. Joining me today, from right down the road in Largo, Florida, say hello to Mr. Tony.
Hey, guys.
Tony, what are you drinking today?
I am kicking it a little easy tonight, going with a nice smooth red ale from Brewhub.
Tony, I am also actually drinking a red ale, or an amber ale.
What is it?
This is from a brewery called Rock Brothers Brewing over in Tampa, Florida. Rock nice. Brothers partners with musicians. So they have partnered with a couple different musicians, and this musician, this particular band, was one that I listened to a lot back when I was in high school and college. This is the 311 Amber Ale.
Ooh, nice.
And it's delicious.
I get it.
It's really good. Rock Brothers, for those that don't know, they do deliver across the U.S. So you can actually buy, they've got 311 Amber out right now, and they have a Daughtry. I think it's a Florida Vice. I have it in the fridge. I haven't even opened it yet. But the 311, I've got this one here. I've got three more back here, so we'll see how many I get through tonight. But it's really good, and they're the good old pint-sized cans. They're really good. All right. We're going to go ahead and leave Pinellas County, head on out to Tampa. We've got Miss Jen. How you doing, Jen?
I'm good. It's actually funny you guys are talking about drinking reds over there. Out of my dying for a pint Winchester Tavern glass here, or glass, I am drinking a red as well. It is Red V8 Splash Berry Blend.
Very nice.
Amazing. There you go.
Oh, anytime we can get a Shaun of the Dead reference on this show, you know I'm going to take it. And we're going to head a little bit west, northwest, all the way up to Huntsville, Alabama. Mr. Mike Mott, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing good. I actually had one of the Rock Brothers Brewing beers. They did a beer with Hootie and the Blowfish a couple years ago. It was pretty good.
That they did. I did not have it. And I think they still brew it, but when we were there, it was obviously quarantine city, so we didn't get to do anything.
But today I have got a beer from the Dixie Beer Company. This is their Voodoo Queen. It's a hazy IPA. I have been on a roll with IPAs recently. This is another IPA that's just very, very good, which is perfect heading into the summer months. Sorry, Chris, I know you don't drink IPAs, but you're missing out. This is really good beer.
I actually do have a Rock Brothers Pale Ale in there. It's a APA 4-pack, but just because I never had it before, I figured I'll keep a local business, keep a local brewery in business, or help do. So I bought a 4-pack of that too. And we're going to head on out, mosey on over to Dallas, Texas. Mr. Steven, how you doing?
Well, after an epic 3-game sweep of the Bears, your NC Dino sit alone at first place of the Korean League, the 12-2 overall record, spurred on, I can only assume, by my fandom. Having never actually watched a game, but occasionally checked the stand-ups, I have provided them the energy they need to play their way into first and into your hearts.
They are definitely in our hearts. Have you? You haven't watched a single game, have you?
I have seen a pitch or two. But, you know, it's on at 1 goddamn a.m., so no, I'm not watching the games.
I'm this close to just recording them so I can watch them. I really am.
Well, we're no longer accepting bandwagon fans at this point, so you can get on the train to Busan and root for whatever the hell their team is called.
If you have not seen the movie The Last Train to Busan, you need to watch that movie. That movie's phenomenal. It might be the best zombie movie.
The Last Train to Busan?
Is it just Train to Busan?
I believe it's just Train.
Okay. One of the best zombie movies of the past 20 years. It's really good.
Yeah, Chris was thinking of The Last Train to Clarksville, which is a very different thing.
I think that Busan director might go places.
Yeah, he might. Okay. So today's game is going to be Jen and Steven taking on Mike and Tony. We've got four of our heavy hitters here. And, of course, I will be your host. We're going to get started with our pregame. Our pregame is 10 questions worth 2 points apiece. Here is your pregame category. Are these people that are mentioned in We Didn't Start the Fire still alive? I have got 10. You need to tell me if they are alive or if they are dead. We're going to start with Jen and Steven. Pick a number 1 through 10.
5?
Number 5. Jen and Steven, is Arturo Toscanini still alive?
Arturo Toscanini?
Yes.
I can't remember the lyric for that.
I can give you, I will say this, I've got extra information on here if we want to go with the extra information. It's a really real brief disclaimer about who they are.
Sure, I can take extra help.
Yeah, I won't mind.
He was an Italian conductor. And I do not mean
like
a train conductor.
Or no. He led orchestras. Clearly, the question's confusing. You need to throw this out and give us another one.
No, answer the question. You're the only ones that can answer it. You have 1 minute.
Well, I have no clue who this person is.
Neither do I.
I know here. I probably shouldn't give this away since it's the beginning of it, but I know, like, they more or less, the lyrics go in chronological order. So if the lyric occurs earlier in the song, there's a higher chance the person's going to be dead.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, but I can't remember where this one comes either. So I'm going to... Dead?
You sure? He's dead.
That name sounds like a dead mofo. Lock it in.
He's done. He's dust in the wind.
Arturo Toscanini is definitely dead. Nicely done. Tony, Mike, give me a number.
Let's go with 3.
Number 3. Tony and Mike, is Ray Cohn alive or dead?
Ray Cohn.
Cohn, C-O-H-N.
Can we likewise get the extra information?
He was a political lawyer.
Yeah, I recognize the name. I'm trying to remember where he goes in the song. I don't really have a good justification, but I kind of feel like he's alive.
Then let's go with it, because I, like you, I recognize the name, but I could not place it.
We only have a minute, not 3.5, for me to go through the entire song every time. So
yeah, let's just go with dead then. Dead.
Or alive.
You said alive, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's do alive.
Alive.
It's like watching a good Peter Jackson movie. Dead alive, dead alive, dead alive. All right. And where did we land?
Alive.
I landed on alive.
Ray Cohn was the personal lawyer of Joe McCarthy. He is dead.
Ah.
Steven, Jennifer, give me a number.
I don't remember what Tony and Mike picked.
They have 3 and 5 are both gone.
That's what I would have picked. I'm going to pick 7.
Number 7, Jennifer, Steven, Queen Elizabeth II.
What queen are we honoring?
I'm trying to remember which Elizabeth is it. Is she the second one? I think the current queen, that's 106, is Queen Elizabeth II. But I have, like, I don't care at all about British royalty. No, so, no. Like, I think that's... I did watch The Crown, but they never, like, call her two. It'd be helpful if she was, like, Lucille Ostero. But,
Let's say she's alive.
Okay, well, I think that, yes, alive.
Queen Elizabeth II is definitely alive. Tony, Mike, give me your number.
Let's go with 1.
Number 1, Tony and Mike. Is Johnny Ray alive or dead?
So, Tony, Johnny Ray, as Steven mentioned earlier, the lyrics are more or less chronological order, and mm-hmm. Johnny Ray is literally the fourth person mentioned, or fourth item mentioned.
Okay.
Third person. So I'm pretty sure he's probably dead.
All right, let's go with it. I like the logic.
Johnny Ray is definitely dead. He was a pianist and a singer from the 1950s. Jennifer, Steven, what number?
1.
They just did number 1.
Oh, well, then I went 2.
2.
We obviously pay attention.
Jennifer and Steven, your person is Bernard Goetz.
More info?
He was famous for a New York City subway shooting.
Yeah, I know the name. But I don't remember when that happened.
Yeah, I have no clue.
It was long enough for, I guess, I don't know. We obviously had subways at the time, so whenever those came about, I have no idea.
I'll concur. Seems like we at least had subways.
Yes. So it wasn't like, 1700s.
Mike might have an aneurysm, by the way.
Good. Do it, Mike.
You get 19 seconds.
Flip a coin.
I flipped the last coin. It's your turn.
Alive.
He's alive.
Bernie Getz is definitely alive. He was responsible for a subway shooting of four men back in 1984.
I was two.
I was not yet here.
All right, Steven. Nicely done. Jen, nicely done. Tony and Mike, give me your number.
Let's go with eight.
Number eight. Your person is Sonny Liston.
This is different than a lot of the other ones who I know exactly who Sonny Liston is, and I have no clue whether he's alive or dead.
What is he known for?
He's a boxer.
Okay. That's why I know the name.
Yeah. But I genuinely don't know whether he's alive or dead.
I want to say he's dead.
That's
because I remember his name coming up a lot with Foreman.
Yeah. Yeah, I was right around the same time. So.
Yeah. And Foreman is not alive. His grandson is, but he is not.
Foreman died, and I missed that?
The first?
10 seconds.
All right, we can go with dead.
Yeah, let's go dead.
Sonny Liston is dead. Nicely done. George Foreman, I'm pretty sure, is still alive, by the way. He's still knocking out the fat. Steven and Jennifer, you're up.
What number did they pick?
They had just picked number eight.
So four. Has four been taken?
Four has not been taken. Steven and Jennifer, is Brigitte Bardot alive or dead?
Sound like a pterodactyl.
Well, I know she was an actress.
Yeah, if she's alive, she's up there. Like, way up there.
I feel like if any of these people are alive, they're up there, though, right?
Generally, probably.
Brigitte Bardot.
You got about 20 seconds.
I'll go with dead.
Okay, it's your turn to pick. Dead.
Yeah, or she's dead.
Brigitte Bardot is actually alive.
Oh.
What was her role that she got famous for? I know she...
That I don't know. I know her. I know she was a model in the 50s and early 60s.
Okay.
It's about the extent of my knowledge of her. I'm sure she strikes me as one of those that might have been in, the really bad B-movie guy. What's his name?
Roger Corman?
Yeah. I think she strikes me as someone that might have been like a Roger Corman film, but I don't know.
Okay. I could be thinking of the wrong person entirely. The name is vaguely familiar at best.
6, 8, 9, and 10 are left. Mike and Tony, take your pick.
Let's do 10.
Number 10, Mike and Tony, is Bob Dylan alive or dead?
Bob Dylan is definitely alive.
I would hope so. I really hope I would have heard about that one.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe there are two gimmies in this entire game, and luckily one went to each team. Bob Dylan is definitely alive.
Yep.
Jennifer and Steven, give me your number.
9.
Whoa.
Simpatico.
Number 9.
Oh, they're dead. We're locked in.
Okay. They've locked in with dead.
It's got to be dead at this point.
You got to take it. That's a lock-in answer.
Number 9. Your person is Floyd Patterson.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them as I am Brigitte Bardot, so I'll just stay with the lock-in. Dead.
Dead. Totally.
Floyd Patterson was the boxer named alongside Sonny Liston. They fought twice, and Floyd Patterson is dead.
Yeah, it's got to be bad if Steven and I are simpatico in anything.
And that leaves the number 6 to Tony and Mike. Tony and Mike, is Chubby Checker alive or dead?
I gotta believe. Ugh.
Mind you, I ran this by my wife yesterday, and she goes, isn't he the one that died in the plane crash with Buddy Holly? No. That was the big bopper.
Yeah. I honestly don't know. Like, my initial gut instinct was dead because I kind of put him around the same time as Little Richard, who just died. But then I was like, I think Chubby Checker might have been a little later because he's listed right along that famous Stanley Kubrick flick Psycho in the song.
That's your one.
Tony, do you have a gut feeling one way or the other? My gut feeling was dead.
My gut feeling was dead too.
Okay, let's go with it then.
Chubby Checker is actually alive. So there are five people left alive that were named, that were actually named by name in that song. There are only five of them that are left, and all five of them appeared there. They were Bernard Goetz, Brigitte Bardot, Chubby Checker, Queen Elizabeth II, and Bob Dylan. Everyone else by name in that song has since passed on. We're going to move into our game. It is currently an 8-6 lead for Steven and Jennifer. Round one, question number one. Your category is in really damn fast food. In the 80s and 90s, what pizza company's delivery drivers were so pressured by the company's 30 minutes or it's free campaign that their mortality rates were on par with construction workers and miners? In 1988 alone, their drivers were involved in 20 fatalities.
I think we can lock it in.
All right. Mike and Tony are locked in. Steven and Jennifer, talk it out.
I don't know. What were the big pizza companies back then? I mean, it was...
The one that I associate in my head for some reason with the 30 minutes or less is Domino's. I feel like they were sort of the first in the delivery game, and for some reason I associate them with that 30 minutes. I don't know if they were literally killing their drivers to do it, but I feel like they were first national in the delivery game for pizza.
Okay, because yeah, when I was younger, we didn't do delivery pizza stuff, so I have no idea on this one.
That's because you were in Wisconsin. It takes forever to get those damn cows to move out of the road.
Well, I lived in a bar. We had bar food.
That's a story we're going to get into in another podcast.
That's a fun story. I'll go with you, Domino's. I'm cool with that.
Okay.
They have locked in Domino's. Mike and Tony, what do you say?
We also locked in with Domino's. For some reason, the way I thought about it was I was pretty sure Domino's was 30 minutes, and for some reason I had in my head that was Domino's was 30 minutes and Pizza Hut was 35 for some reason. That's what I had in my head, but that's what we locked in with.
Ironically enough, I worked at Papa John's when I was younger, and I can guarantee you that their delivery time has never been under 35 to 45 minutes. So I knew it wasn't Papa John's, and I watched a like 25 minute documentary on YouTube about Domino's and the way they changed. I remember this coming up.
It is definitely Domino's. Nicely done to both teams. That was not an easy question to start off with, and y'all made it look easy. Round one, question number two. Your category is cereal is making a killing on podcast advertising. Your question: what unidentified serial killer would often communicate with local police and newspapers? Once, they even left a 340-character cryptogram that has not been solved to this day.
Chris, I think we can go ahead and lock in.
All right, they're locked in. Tony and Steven. Tony, it's Mike, you're locked in. Jennifer and Steven, talk it out. Jennifer, you're on mute.
Silent.
Sorry.
Saying, oh, sorry, while you're on mute does me no good.
Listen to me, okay? You
Listen,
said
Linda.
You just was talking over each other, and you're talking over me right now. So, I mean, the serial killers that I have brushed up on are mainly ones from Wisconsin. So, remember, I lived a block away from Jeffrey Dahmer, and he bought me penny candy all the time. But, I mean, Zodiac... The only two that I can think of that are, like, unnamed are the Zodiac Killer and then, what's his name? But it was, like, in the UK a long, long, long time ago, Jack the Ripper. So, I don't know. I'm good with Zodiac Killer if you are, Steven. I mean...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. I mean, I only saw the film once a long, long time ago, but I think that's... I'm pretty sure Zodiac Killer is the answer.
They have locked in Zodiac Killer. Mike and Tony, what do you say?
Funny thing is, I know a lot about the Zodiac Killer and know that he was active in the San Francisco area. Well, I know a lot of the public information, Stephen. I see the looks. But we also decided to lock in with Zodiac Killer.
And it's a good thing that you did. It was definitely the Zodiac Killer. Nicely done. Round one, question number three. Your category is in music-ish? Music-ish? What peer-to-peer file-sharing application was once sued by the Recording Industry Association of America, or RIAA, for $72 trillion? That is greater than the GDP of the entire world.
Chris, we can lock in.
Tony and Mike are locked in. I feel like we're going to say this again, but Jennifer and Steven, talk it out.
All right, so my initial thought on that was, because I never really downloaded stuff like that, because I was not technologically savvy. So my first thought was it Pirate Hub or something like that? But then Steven came up with Napster, and I think that was like a big thing that we had talked about in a previous podcast. So I'm more apt to believe somebody who's probably way more, younger, yes, but probably more technologically savvy than I am as well. So
I, too, have never downloaded illegal things from the interwebs. Is that what they are? So
Googles are a series of tubes.
I don't know how to and would never do that because it's the morally wrong thing to do.
It is. But
yes, I did suggest Napster because they're kind of famous for getting the pants sued off of them and destroying the service that many people other than myself used.
I have downloaded my fair share of Metallica.
Did you hear that? FBI, come and get him. Come and get him. No, I'm good with Napster.
They have locked in Napster. Mike and Tony, what do you say?
Tony and I looked at each other pretty much right away. We said Napster. Tony also threw out LimeWire, which did give me pause for a second, but I don't remember. The Napster thing was so huge that I think we were pretty sure it's Napster, so we locked in with Napster.
We have another same answer. The difference, though, is that nobody got it right. The RIAA actually sued LimeWire for $72 trillion in damages.
Tony, we should have talked that out a little more. When you said LimeWire, did you go, well, maybe?
I couldn't remember LimeWire getting overtly sued. So I was just like, I knew they got in trouble, but I couldn't remember whether they got sued. So that's the only reason I threw it out.
And I didn't remember really Napster getting sued specifically, but I just remember they were the big one that was felt like it was in the spotlight. So
right. And let's just say that streaming services have made me a more moral man.
Yes.
The only thing that stopped you from downloading music illegally is $10 a month.
Hey, I never said that. I never said I downloaded music illegally. I just said it made me a more moral man.
Okay.
I'll say unequivocally that I downloaded music illegally, and if I liked two songs from a band, I bought their album. So I definitely gave more money to the music recording industry because of illegal downloads than they would have gotten from me otherwise. So
that means Mike never owned a Fuel album before.
I actually owned two, but that was before music downloading. So,
in my hands again.
No.
All right.
Can we just get back to how does one calculate $72 trillion worth of damages? I want to see the math on that.
I would love to see the math on that.
More than the GDP of multiple Earths worth of damages.
I'm waiting for the Netflix documentary. That's what I want to see. All right. Round one, question number four. Your category is movies-ish? Yes, Mike. Yes. By the way, Mike, just so you know, I feel like that is like seven straight music questions I have written that you have not gotten right.
In my defense, that was blatantly a music-ish question.
That's true. Round one, question number four. Your category is in movies-ish. What actor holds the distinction for being the only person to appear in live action in a Pixar film?
I know who it is. I just can't think of his name. I've got it.
Chris, we can go ahead and lock in.
Tony and Mike have locked in. Steven, what do you and Jennifer think it is?
So it's definitely from WALL-E, because the president of, by and large, when they go into space, is a regular human, and then over time the humans become the fleshy people. I'm pretty sure it's Fred Willard that plays that role.
I do not know who Fred Willard is, so I am...
He's the president of By and Large, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that... You're such a shit.
And yet we keep bringing him back.
I know. You're pairing him up with me now. What's up with that?
You complained about you losing last time. I wanted to make sure you had a chance to win.
Plus, the sexual chemistry is just too strong to deny.
Tell you for a good time, call 867-5309.
Oh, my Lord.
I got it.
What's your answer?
I'll go with his answer. I don't know enough about it to know.
Fred Willard.
They have locked in Fred Willard, Mike, and Tony. What do you think?
An RIP to Fred, but definitely by and large his president himself, Fred Willard.
And he just recently passed away, like within the last week. It is the always, always hilarious Mr. Fred Willard. Rest in peace, sir. Your work is phenomenal and you will be missed.
Hey, how much can you bench, Chris? I'm sorry. I love him in Best in Show.
Yeah. Okay. We are moving on to round two in a score update. It is a close game. It is 38-36, a 2-point lead for Jen and Steven.
And speaking of moving on, I'm popping open a new beer. This is another one from the Dixie Beer Company. It is the Raspberry White Ale, and it's called Crimson Voodoo. They have a voodoo theme going on with their beers. Very good.
And there's a crimson theme going on in Alabama.
Touche. This is actually a Louisiana brewery, but still.
Oh, I can't believe they'd get away with that in Louisiana, but... Round two, question number one. Your category is in funny phobias. Iabophobia is ironically a fear of what? And I will spell that for you. A-I-B-O-H-P-H-O-B-I-A.
Chris, we can lock in.
Tony and Mike have locked in. Jennifer and Steven, talk it out.
It's the one where it's spelled the same backwards and forwards. It's a palindrome, right?
Yes, it's a palindrome. And okay. I believe the spelling Chris gave us was a palindrome, so I'm willing to go with that.
Yeah, because that one, that's a funny one to me. Because those people are assholes that made that up.
That one and the fear of really long words.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
So you're saying it's a fear of palindromes?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, Mike and Tony, what do you think?
So this almost feels unfair because Chris and I have a mutual friend on Facebook that posted this like literally 2 days ago, but it is definitely a fear of palindromes.
Is that where I got that from?
Yeah, Nick posted it a couple days ago.
Oh,
okay. I actually commented that was my new favorite fun fact.
Okay. Sorry.
In case you're curious, my old favorite fun fact was that the song American Pie was originally played on March 14th, a.k.a. Pie Day.
Ooh. That might come up later on an episode Mike Mott is not on. It is definitely a fear of palindromes, and I thought that was so funny I wrote a question about it and then did not realize who even posted it.
It is funny, though.
Round two, question number two. Your category is in Halloween. The term jack-o'-lantern is tied to the Irish legend of Stingy Jack. In the legend, the drunkard Jack is rejected from heaven and cannot gain access to hell. He is doomed to walk the earth with only a hollowed-out vegetable to light his path. But it's not a pumpkin. It's actually what taproot vegetable?
I'm pretty sure I can lock in on this.
Okay, yep.
Jen and Steven are locked in. Mike and Tony, talk it out.
So, Tony, the first thing, for some reason, the first thing that popped in my head was a squash.
Which makes sense, because pumpkins are squash, and the pumpkins we use are not actually pumpkins.
Well, you know more about this than me, then.
Well, no, I'm using logic to get to your answer, but that's kind of how I was feeling about it as well.
Okay, I never use logic to get to my own answer, so when others can do it for me, it's so much the better. I'm good with that.
Yeah, so let's go with squash.
They have locked in with squash. Jennifer and Steven, what did you say?
Well, considering they said taproot, Steven...
I picked an actual taproot when I said turnip.
That wasn't even like a hint. That was plainly in the question. There's only a handful of taproot vegetables, and the correct answer is a turnip.
So I have no idea what a taproot vegetable is. I'm going to throw it out there.
Neither do I.
Steven, do you want to tell them what a taproot is?
I don't know if I can give you the definition of what all of them are, but it's like turnips and like beets and radishes and any of the ones where it's like the little bulb and the long stem you got to pull
they're
out.
The root itself goes deeper into the ground.
So it's not a band with a one hit that was a one hit wonder with a song called Poem back in the early aughts.
It is that too, but that's not what we're looking for.
Okay.
10 points to Jennifer and Steven as we move on to round two, question number three. Your category is history. What nation refers to World War II as the Blessed War because it declared its full independence from Denmark in 1943 while Denmark was still under German control?
I feel pretty confident about this.
Does Jennifer feel confident enough to let Steven lock in?
Yeah. Lock it in, lock it in.
All right, Mike and Tony, talk it out.
So I have no idea. None whatsoever.
So I'm trying to think. I know I was
Iceland
saying...
Iceland popped into my head. I don't know if they were... I mean, I figured, okay, Greenland was is still part of Denmark, so...
Mike, I think you're onto something, because I was trying to remember when Iceland became an independent country. And I think it is in the 1940s. I know a lot of... I was saying before they locked in South America, but I think that a lot of them didn't gain their rights until the 1950s. Or before the Great Wars. If you have Iceland in your mind, I think that's a good answer.
It's like I said, it's just the one that popped into my head. I don't have a strong feeling, but I don't know if I'm personally going to come up with anything better.
All right, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was the early 40s that Iceland got their independence. So let's go with Iceland.
I'm good with that.
They have locked in Iceland. Steven and Jennifer, what did you say?
We also locked in with Iceland.
So... Iceland and Denmark. Iceland was a territory of Denmark. Iceland and Denmark basically severed their ties back in 1918. But they did have loose ties up until Iceland took a vote while Denmark was under German control in 1944. And then after the war, the King of Denmark released a statement basically wishing them well. It is Iceland. Nicely done. And that was not an easy question. So the fact that like both of you locked in so quickly is awesome. It's a testament to the quality of players we have playing tonight.
Even if we don't know what a taproot is.
Everyone has their... I don't know who directed Psycho. Calm down. Round two, question number four. Your category is higher education. What Ivy League school is the only one that identifies as a college, not a university?
I just hear rusty gears trying to turn.
Yeah, you might want to see someone about that.
I got some oil in the shed.
Shed? You living in Haddonfield? Like, my God.
I think we can lock it in. And listen, don't judge.
Jennifer and Steven are locked in, yes?
Steven?
Yeah. We can lock.
All right, Mike and Tony, talk it out.
Okay, so... Harvard is a university. Yale's a university. University of Pennsylvania is clearly a university. Princeton is a university. Columbia is a university.
Brown is a university.
What'd you say?
Brown.
Brown is a university. Dartmouth, maybe a college?
I was just about
Cornell's
to say to you
a university.
They... Yes. I was just about to say to you before they locked in, I think it's in New England. So Dartmouth would make sense.
Yeah, are there any we haven't named? I'm okay going with Dartmouth. I'm probably forgetting one.
You've got the University of Florida. They are the Ivy League of the South.
I went to Vanderbilt. The University of Florida is definitely not the Ivy League of the South.
Apologies to Tulane, the actual Ivy League of the South.
No, let's. I think we named the majority. Let's go Dartmouth. I think it's okay. The only one that. Yeah.
All right. Mike and Tony have locked in with Dartmouth. Steven and Jennifer, what do you think?
Yeah. We went with Dartmouth as well. So. Yay.
I love how I
was not super confident in that, honestly.
Well, I just think it's hilarious that when I say an answer, it like takes a long time for me to get there. And you're like, Dartmouth.
Dartmouth. Well, I, You go down, Harvard University, Yale University, Dartmouth University. That doesn't sound right.
No, let's start with college.
That was the only thing I had in my head, so.
Yeah.
Your correct answer is, in fact, Dartmouth College. Nicely done. There's actually, if you get a minute, go look at that online. There's an entire couple of articles written around how they tried to get it to be a university, and the college just flat out didn't want it. It's really interesting how that all shook out. But we're heading into halftime. Your scores, Jennifer and Steven, have opened up a 12-point lead. It is 66-78. And your halftime category is sports.
Sports. Sports ball.
It has been a light sports game, and we are going into heavy sports now. I want you to name for me the five starters from the 1992 Dream Team in the gold medal game. Name the five starters from the 92 Dream Team, obviously basketball, for their gold medal game. And these are worth 4 points apiece.
I don't know the sports, so...
Yeah, Steven, I think you're flying solo on this one.
Oh, okay.
But I believe in you.
I feel like they rotated the starting five a lot. That's why I'm kind of hesitant here. And I wasn't super into sports back then.
Chris, we can go ahead and lock in.
All right, Tony and Mike are locked in. Steven, talk it out.
By yourself.
Jordan and Pippen, obviously.
And I know Dennis Rodman, and I know the Bird guy.
Yeah, okay, Jordan, Pippen, and Larry Bird. I don't know. What
what year was this
was
again?
Was it Magic? It's 92.
92. Who was the one that came out with AIDS? Was he big then? Which one was he?
Good Lord, nope. I had it and I lost it. He's one of the names I've been cycling through here. It's Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson is the one.
Johnson. Because he was pretty big back then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Was Shaq big back
then? He was on that team. No, Shaq wasn't on that team.
Okay.
Was Ewan starting that day? Okay, I'm going to go Larry Bird, Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan. Who are the other two? Let's go with Karl Malone? No?
What?
Or was it Barkley? It was probably Barkley, right? I don't see the problem. I can name about like 10 people that were on the team, but I don't know who the starting five were that day.
I'm saying it makes sense because I actually know the name of that person. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So we want to go with Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Larry Bird.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Johnson.
Because, I mean, I know Rodman and I know Ewing, too. So.
Who are we missing here? Are we missing a center? Let's see, we got two guards.
You're asking too much of me.
I'm asking too much of you. Okay. I'll say Jordan, Pippen, Bird, Johnson, Karl Malone.
I don't even know who that is. So, Malone it is.
They have locked in Jordan, Pippen, Bird, Johnson, and Malone. Mike and Tony, what do you think?
So we were very similar. The initial starting five that we had, I thought about Scottie Pippen. I didn't mention him. I don't know if Tony thought about him, but he didn't mention him either. I didn't think he would be starting five. So our original starting five was that we thought of was Jordan, Patrick Ewing, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and Karl Malone. And then Tony said, I think it might be Charles Barkley, not Karl Malone. So our final answer was Jordan, Ewing, Magic, Larry Bird, and Charles Barkley.
So, Steven, you're talking it out there, and you had the right idea. The entire starting five shuffled every game. They're all really big egos, right?
Yeah.
So the only player that started every game was Jordan. Because like,
sure.
Who's got a bigger ego than Michael Jordan? Also, the best player that ever played, sorry, LeBron, sorry, Kobe.
Johnson's ego was pretty close back then.
So was Larry Bird's. They all had huge egos.
Yeah.
Your starting five for the championship game was Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Magic Johnson, Karl Malone, and Patrick Ewing.
Oh, we were
so close, and I was mentioning Ewing too.
So by my calculations, we each got 3 correct.
I think they got 4.
No, we got 4 correct.
4?
No, you had Bird.
Yeah.
Bird Malone. Was the only one they missed. They had Malone, Jordan, Magic, and Pippen.
Oh, I thought you had Barkley.
No, we had Barkley.
No, they had Barkley.
Their fifth was Larry Bird. That was the only one they missed.
Yep.
All right, so it is 94-78 as we head into the second half of our game.
Damn my honesty.
Steven would have called it out.
I'd have made you play it back.
All right. Round 3, question number 1. Your category is in business. Name the American conglomerate that owns all the following companies. Geico, Duracell, Dairy Queen, Fruit of the Loom, and Helzberg Diamonds.
The conglomerate?
Correct.
Can you name those again?
So it is the American company that owns all of the following companies. Geico, Duracell, Dairy Queen, Fruit of the Loom, and Helzberg Diamonds.
So I think I have a clue that leads me to it. I'm conferring with my partner here.
I think Mike and I can lock in.
Oh, you sons of biatches.
All right, Tony and Michael have locked in. Steven and Jennifer, talk it out.
So here's the thing. I know that Warren Buffett is at least a partial owner of Dairy Queen. And I know this because I like listening to crazy conspiracy theories on the internet. And there's a whole thing about how he owns a pedophile ring because, you know, there's so many pictures of him on the internet where he's holding ice cream to entice children. And he's holding fucking dilly bars in all the pictures because he's selling Dairy Queen. And these people are just too stupid to figure that out. So I know that much. So I think... The problem is they're asking for the conglomerate. I'm pretty sure his conglomerate is Berkshire Hathaway. I think that's what it's called. And I don't know about any of the other companies, but I can guarantee you he owns Dairy Queen.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, we'll go with Berkshire Hathaway.
They have locked in with Berkshire Hathaway. Mike and Tony, what do you think?
So, Steven, I got to this answer a very similar way to you. I had Geico for years, and I hate the company, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't do business with any of them or their partners, and then I found out that they are, in fact, owned by Berkshire Hathaway. So that's what we're locking in with.
And I was no help on that answer whatsoever. I just want to be abundantly clear on that.
And Warren Buffett has made a lot of money off of a lot of us rather fluffy gentlemen who like our Dairy Queen and our 2XL Fruit of the Looms. It is Berkshire Hathaway. Nicely done. 10 points for everybody as we move on to question number 2 in round 3. Your category is religion.
What is false?
The views of Steven do not reflect the views of the Pub Trivia Experience. Here is your question. With between 40 and 50% of its population identifying as atheists, what Asian country is the most irreligious in the world?
The problem is we both, my partner and I, kind of have sensible answers right now, so we might be stuck in a limbo for a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, I can hold one half of the stick.
Well, let's go ahead and hear their points, because Mike and I are locking in.
All right.
Damn it. It's about to lock in.
Jennifer and Steven, talk it out.
So
my initial thought was a lot of, like, the smaller countries, like the Philippines is mainly Catholic. Singapore is Catholic Christian. Japan has a couple things going on. Taiwan, I don't know that I've heard that they are predominantly anything. But Steven made a good point as well, because China, the people that I know from China are either Christian or they're Buddhist. So, but again, China is a giant freaking country. And so Steven, take it over.
Well, officially, the Chinese government is atheist. And so to get anywhere in the government or politics there, you have to be an atheist. Because, you know, no freedom of religion. So I would figure that most self-identifying atheists in terms of per capita would probably be China in the world, I would guess.
I mean, that would make sense considering their population is so much more immense than any of the smaller Asian countries. So I'm willing to lock it in with China.
Yeah, we'll go with China.
So I want to be clear here. I never said they had the most atheists. I said their population, between 40 and 50% of their population identified as atheist. It had nothing to do with the population in the country.
Yeah, per capita we're talking.
Yes. Okay, you're going with China.
Yeah, I'm still willing to go with China.
All right, Mike and Tony, what do you think?
The way he says that, it sounds like we're wrong.
So I had a similar thought process initially to what Steven did, which is basically that China is officially an atheist country. So, but Tony pointed out there's a lot of Taoists and Hindus in China, and I was like, yeah, and there's also actually, I think China has like one of the biggest, just not per capita, but overall population size of Muslims in the entire world. So we kind of ruled that one out. And then Tony had suggested Japan. I don't know anything about the religion of Japan. I mean, I lived there. I attended church there for a year, but I know nothing about the people there and their religion. So, but that sounded like as good a guess to me as any. There was no way I personally was going to get there. Tony, I don't know what you were specifically thinking regarding that, but
I just know that in Japan, a lot of importance is put around the family and ancestors as opposed to specific religious ideas. So I know that as a country, they're not too worried about deifying pretty much anything. And the way they approach things is very unlike most religions ever try to approach life. Obviously, they have a smaller population than most countries. But like Chris said, it was per capita and not per population size. So that's kind of where my thought process went.
So what did we go with?
We locked in with Japan.
So we've got a point of points of separation here. One team went with China, one team went with Japan. And one team got the answer correct. Steven's logic is actually spot on. It is China. 10 points for them. Round three, question number three. Your category is literature. The Bram Stoker Award for Literature celebrates superior achievements in horror writing. What author has won the award a record 13 times?
I think Jen and I can lock in.
Steven and Jennifer have locked in. Mike and Tony, talk it out.
Both of us immediately thought Stephen King.
I mean, who else? He's the king of horror. Right. He has that title for a reason. He has to.
I just wanted to make sure there weren't any other names that
popped into your head.
I'm pretty sure it's not R.L. Stine. Dean Koontz, maybe, but 13 times? I don't think so. It's got to be.
This is more of a thriller than horror.
That's fair.
Yeah. So
I mean, I'm fine with Stephen King. I just didn't want to jump all over it and be like, oh, there was something else there. So
completely understand. But I think we're right on the money with that one.
They have locked in with Stephen King. Jennifer and Steven, what do you think?
We both jump on the same thing. I mean, Stephen King is one of the heaviest hitters in horror these days anyways. So it's the most logical answer.
They have both locked in with Stephen King. If I had told you there was an author that wrote from between 1976 and 2016 a series of books called The Vampire Chronicles, and I would have told you that person is Anne Rice, and she still did not catch Stephen King for Bram Stoker Award nominations or wins, would that be surprising? No? No? Okay. They're all on mute. I swear, my jokes are funny, damn it. But the correct answer is, in fact, Stephen King. Nicely done. We are moving on. Round three, question number four. Your category is in music. And Mike will be happy to know that I did not write this question. This question comes from my lovely wife, Leah.
Fuck.
Mike has locked in. Here's your question. Both Van Halen and Criss Cross had hits with a song titled what?
Tony, we can lock this one in.
Tony and Mike are locked in. Jennifer and Steven, talk it out.
So, Jen, how you feel about the sports ball is how I feel about this question.
Oh, great. I'm trying to remember trying to remember like that the big crisscross song from back then. I don't even think you were alive yet.
Probably not. I was born in 85, to give you a reference.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember they were big for wearing all of their clothes backwards, which is really awkward. Looked really ridiculous. One of their big songs, I think, was called Jump.
I've heard that song before.
Is there a Van Halen song called
Jump? I don't know if it's a Van Halen, but I'm okay with that.
That's the only song by them that I remember.
I'm fine with going with Jump.
All right, yeah, we're gonna go with Jump.
And Steven and Jennifer have locked in with Jump. Mike and Tony, what do you say?
You might as well do what Chris Cross will make you do, and that is Jump.
Points all around. It is Jump. Nicely done.
Daddy Mac will make you jump.
The Mac Daddy make you jump.
Oh, sorry.
Might as well jump. Bum, bum. Might as well jump.
Oh, yeah.
So, Steven and Jennifer swept that round. Mike and Tony got 3 out of 4. Your score going into the final round, 134 to 108 in favor of Steven and Jennifer. Round 4, question number 1. Your category is in military. What 3-word term is the name of a military strategy that states the prospect of annihilation for both sides would prevent either side from using nuclear weapons in the event of a conflict?
Okay, we can lock it in then.
Steven and Jennifer have locked in. Mike and Tony, talk it out.
So yeah, we were just on the cusp.
I'm 99% sure that it's mutually assured destruction.
I am with you on that. I had it on the tip of my tongue and I couldn't find it. And then as soon as I saw it, I was like, yep, that's it.
They've locked in mutually assured destruction. Steven and Jennifer, what do you say?
We Ditto. Also went with MAD, mutually assured destruction.
Points all around. Nicely done. We are moving on to round 4, question number 2. Your category is in sportball.
No!
As you know, if I am a fan of the Spice Girls, I am definitely going for Sporty Spice. That's not true at all. Okay. The first ever Soccer World Cup took place in 1930. And was won by what South American country? You might as well jump. Just go ahead and jump.
Nah, I'm only on the second floor. That wouldn't get me out of this.
Chris, Mike and I can go ahead and lock in.
Mike and Tony are locked in. Jennifer and Steven, talk it out.
So, the only thing I know about soccer is that usually the country with the bigger population wins. Like, that's sort of the main thing that the small countries usually lose. So,
and I kind of went with the one, like, there's the one South American country that really popped out in my brain in regards to this kind of sports ball, and that was Brazil.
Yeah, and since that fits what I'm thinking, I think we should go with Brazil, right?
Yep, sounds good to me.
Yeah.
They have locked in with Brazil. Steven, Mike Antoni, what do you say?
My immediate instinct was to say that this was the one and the only one that Uruguay won. So we locked in with Uruguay.
1930, South America is the only World Cup won by Uruguay. Nicely done, Mike and Tony. They are cutting into the lead as we head into round 4, question number 3. And your category is, in Chris's favorite, geography. And Mike, I will have you know that geography is literally only bodies of water. And to prove my point, here is your question. The historical region known as Mesopotamia is situated around what two rivers?
We can go ahead and lock in.
Yeah, we can lock this one in, motherfucker.
Okay, Mike and Tony have locked in. Steven and Jennifer, talk it out.
It's the Tigris and the Euphrates.
And Tony and Mike.
Yeah, no discussion needed. Tigris and Euphrates. I think we all knew that one right off the bat.
In a question that should have been in round one, your correct answer is the Tigris and the Euphrates. Nicely done.
Bear in mind, my wife did teach world history. So.
That's true. That's true. All right. Round four, question number four, your last question of the main game. Your category is science.
Science?
In 1961, who became the first American to travel into space? A decade later, he would walk on the moon.
This is a round. Okay. Yeah, I can lock in.
Steven and Jennifer have locked in. Tony and Mike, talk it out.
Tony, I'm fairly certain he not only walked on the moon, but hit a golf ball on it.
You are right.
I'm pretty sure the answer is Alan Shepard.
You are absolutely right. Fun fact about this, he smuggled the makeshift golf club onto the shuttle. So we're locking in with Alan Shepard.
I think someone kidnapped Jennifer. Jennifer, are you in the back of a car?
No, sorry. I put you guys in my pocket because my friend just brought over a bunch of fresh veggies from a local farm, and I was putting them in the kitchen.
I want friends that bring me fresh veggies at 11 o'clock at night.
I know a fresh vegetable farm. It's on our other faithful Potter's house.
Yeah, they have chickens now,
Oh, I
too.
Know. I've seen them.
Your correct answer.
Are we allowed to give our answer, too, or...
Apparently not.
I know what your answer is, but go ahead. Give me your
yeah,
answer.
Yeah, it's Alan Shepard. If you had asked me who hit the golf ball, I probably wouldn't have gotten it. But yeah, the first American in space is Alan Shepard. Although I should qualify, the first American human in outer space was Alan Shepard.
Yes, it's fair. We did send a chimpanzee and a dog.
I think so.
Your correct answer is Alan Shepard. And maybe those two questions belonged in round one.
I live in Rocket City, USA. I don't get to continue being employed if I don't get that one correct.
That's a value-added point. Your scores going into the wager rounds. Mike and Tony have 148 points after sweeping round four. Jennifer and Steven have 164. Here's what happens now. You will each send me your wagers based on the following three questions. You can wager up to the amount of points you have in your bucket, and you can split it up between these three categories. Your final questions, category one is in Shakespeare. Category two is in U.S. history. Category three is in science. You can wager a combined amount of points up to what you currently have. You each have my cell phone numbers. Text those over to me and we will get going. All right, our wagers are locked in. You have three final questions. And you have locked in a wager on each based on the category alone. Question number one. Your category is in Shakespeare. Played by Michelle Pfeiffer in the film, what is the name of the Queen of the Fairies in A Midsummer Night's Dream?
We can lock that one in. I agree.
Yeah. I was in the play, so.
Oh.
Mike and Tony, talk it out.
I was sitting here like, it's Oberon and then Tony wrote down Titania. I think that sounds right.
You don't want to know why I know this?
I do absolutely want to know why you know this. I mean, so, I was in this play, my sister was in this play, and I still couldn't pull it up, so.
I could not remember it from Shakespeare itself. And this is funny because I did stage work and staging. Stage direction for this play at my high school. But for some reason, it just completely fell directly out of my mind after senior year. However, there is an anime I have watched called Sword Art Online. And if you know anything about anime, you know that there is a lot of hate and contention around this anime. And there is an arc in it in which they are stuck in a world of fairies. And the queen's name is Titania, and her king's name is Oberon. So for some reason, it is stuck in my mind because of that damn anime.
I know nothing about anime, but there's no controversy as far as I'm concerned. Good pull.
We're going to move on to question number two. Your category is in U.S. history. After the attack at Pearl Harbor, the U.S. government had the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence moved to what military location?
Okay, I'll send it into Chris for a lock-in.
Tony and Mike, talk it out.
So I've never heard this. I didn't know this was a thing. The first thing that popped into my head, and I thought like, okay, well, you know, the Pentagon's just up the road. I'm not even sure the Pentagon existed back then. And then I thought of Fort Knox because it's known for being secure. I genuinely don't have anything else though. I mean, West Point, like I don't know.
So the only place that really does make sense is Fort Knox.
I'm fine with that.
Most of our bases are either too new or decommissioned after. We don't use a lot of the same bases. Fort Knox is technically still not even officially an in-commission base at the moment, but that's a point of contention amongst our CIA. So we'll leave that there. But I feel confident with Fort Knox.
They have locked in with Fort Knox. Steven and Jennifer, what did you say?
Yeah, we also went with Fort Knox for pretty much the same reasoning. It's just the only place we can think of that seems secure. You know, I've seen the inside of Fort Knox in the third act of Goldfinger. I'm pretty sure that's an accurate representation. And that looks like a good place
100%.
To hide it. Yeah, it looks like a good place to hide it.
No, Mr. Ford, I expect you to die.
That movie is a really good Bond. Unfortunately, it does not star the best Bond, Timothy Dalton, official physician of the Pub Trivia Experience.
I wanted to point out that I tried to get Stephen Ford onto one of our other podcasts, recast that, and he insisted on casting Adam West in everything. So I'm wondering what would have happened if Adam West had played Bond, if he would
literally
still hold this
Adam
Timothy
West
Dalton.
Actually was up for Bond.
I've heard that.
When Roger Moore was starting to get old, he like actually got screen tests and everything. He was very close. Before he became Batman, he was almost James Bond. And he would have been the best Bond. But unfortunately, it is now, as the official Pod Trivia Experience belief, Timothy Dalton, best Bond. At the end of this, we're going to give you all of our contact information. So please feel free to write us about it with your, what I can only assume, overwhelming agreement to that statement. T. Dalton, Timmy, your man, the one and only James Bond.
Okay. Moving on. Your final question in your wager round is in science. Of the 8 planets in our solar system, how many of them have at least one moon?
We can lock in.
Tony and Mike have locked in. Steven and Jennifer, talk it out.
All right. I'm pretty sure it's 6 of 8 have moons.
That is what I attempted to send to you for the verification for this round before I could send that info. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. What is it? It's like Mercury and Venus don't and the rest do, I would say.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is. It's been a long time since I had to make that diorama in elementary school. But I'm pretty sure that of the 8 actual planets, it's 6 of them that have moons.
I want to know what elementary school made you do a diorama including all the moons of the other planets.
That's a lot of moons.
I don't know if I actually made, I'll be honest, I might have just done the planets and put the moon around the Earth. I might have been. But I'm sure somewhere in the book I cribbed my picture out of, there was mention of the moons.
All right, so you're locked in with 6.
So this is how old I am. When I was a lad, Jupiter had 17 moons and Saturn had 22. I'm pretty sure both of those numbers have gotten substantially larger.
Substantially higher.
I said to Tony almost the exact same thing that Steven said, and I said, I'm pretty sure Mercury and Venus don't, but the rest do. And he said, I was thinking 6. And I was like, yes. So we went with 6.
All right. We're going to go through this one more time, and we're going to give your answers. Question number one, your category was in Shakespeare. Played by Michelle Pfeiffer, what is the name of the Queen of the Fairies in A Midsummer Night's Dream? Steven, what did you say?
Titania?
Titania.
Titania, however you pronounce it.
Yeah, Mike and Tony.
We likewise said Titania.
That is correct. And what were your wagers?
We wagered 50 on that one.
Steven and Jennifer.
We wagered 55.
All right. Question number two. Your category was in U.S. history. After the attack on Pearl Harbor, the U.S. government had the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence moved to what military location? What did you say?
Which one of us do you want to hear from first?
Neither. Yeah. We'll start with Steven and Jennifer. What did you say?
We said Fort Knox.
And Tony and Mike.
We also said Fort Knox.
And Tony and Mike, what were your wagers on that question?
We wagered 48 on that one.
Steven and Jennifer, what was your wager?
55.
And your correct answer is actually Francis Ford Coppola knew his nephew was going to be a huge fan of the Declaration of Independence. They actually just moved it to his house in L.A. Not sure if you guys knew that.
No, I thought it was still at the Smithsonian or whatever.
We're not using the Constitution anymore, so we don't really need it.
True. Fair
point. And I thought my Francis Ford Coppola joke was good, and then Mike tops me.
I'm sorry, I dug it, Chris. That was a good Nick Cage reference. I liked it.
More of a treasure protector.
Treasure protector. They did move the Declaration of Independence along with the Constitution to Fort Knox. And Tony, you're right. It is not. It doesn't actually have a name other than it being an official Army post.
Yeah, it's not a commission base anymore.
It's not, which is weird.
Yep.
All right. Question number three. Your category was in science. Of the 8 planets in our solar system, how many have at least one moon? Tony and Mike, what did you say?
We said 6.
And what was your wager?
Mike, you want to speak on that?
We wagered 50 on that one as well.
Steven and Jennifer.
We went with 6 as well, and we went with 54 points.
So those of you that are saved by the bell fan, you'll remember Mavinschnup. Mercury,
which is now
Venus.
Obsolete.
Yes, Mavinschn. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars. Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. Of those, Mercury and Venus do not have any moons. The correct answer is 6. Your final score tonight, possibly the highest scoring game we've ever had. Tony and Michael ended up with 296 points. But Jennifer and Steven were just a little bit better. 328.
Yeah.
Well done, guys. Well done. It was pretty much, honestly, like you guys had that 2-point advantage at the outset, and I forget which other questions you got. Oh, I guess you got one more point on the halftime, and I mean, you guys did a great job.
It was a push and pull game the entire time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Those are some crazy scores. This might have been one of your easier games, Chris.
So this has been another episode, everybody, of the Pub Trivia Experience. I am 2 beers in. I am calling it a night. For the Pub Trivia Experience, though, I have been Chris.
I've been Tony.
I've been Jen.
I'm 3 beers in, and I've been Mike.
And I've been Steven.
Before we sign off, you can find the Pub Trivia Experience on Instagram and Facebook, Pub Trivia Experience, on Twitter, at Pub Trivia Pod, PubTriviaExperience.com. If you want to be a part of the show, whether you want to play a game or host, email us, PubTriviaExperience@gmail.com, or really, you can pretty much find Jennifer's phone number on any men's bathroom wall.
867-509.
And that's why none of us actually headline a band.
I did 20 years ago.
Yes, you did. But everyone, have a great weekend, a great week, actually, because this comes out on Sunday. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.